WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Republicans have nominated Congressman Mike Johnson from Louisiana to be Speaker of the House, the fourth candidate for the job in just 2 weeks, says CBS's Nicole Killian on Capitol Hill.
Johnson was elected after House Republican Whip Tom Emmer couldn't secure enough support. Emmer was Speaker designate for about 4 hours before he withdrew from the race. Former President Trump called Emmer a rhino and said he would be a tragic mistake.
There could be a vote on Johnson's nomination as soon as this morning. It's not clear he has the 217 Republican votes to get the job.
Here it comes. Cave, a fly ball to right field. Over is Carroll. He's got it. And the Arizona Diamondbacks are headed to the World Series.
The call from TBS Sports. In fact, the Diamondbacks are going to the World Series for the first time in 22 years. They stunned the Philadelphia Phillies 4-2 in Game 7 of the National League Championship Series last night. Arizona will play the Texas Rangers for the world title. Game 1 set for Friday night. Israel appears to be getting closer to a ground invasion of Gaza, says CBS's Holly Williams.
The Israeli military says that they've already launched limited raids into Gaza to kill militants, but obviously something much bigger is expected, especially if you look at troops massed near the border with the Gaza Strip.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby acknowledges an invasion would cause collateral damage.
This is war. It is combat. It is bloody. It is ugly. And it's going to be messy. And innocent civilians are going to be hurt.
Hurricane Otis is now a catastrophic Category 5 storm and has made landfall near Acapulco. It could drop as much as 5 to 10 inches of rain on Guerrero State, with as much as 15 inches possible in some areas. Another strike in progress.
The St. Lawrence Seaway, a crucial marine shipping route that links the Great Lakes to the Atlantic Ocean, has been shut down after nearly 400 union workers went on strike. They want better pay to keep up with the rising cost of living.
If it wasn't for the St. Lawrence Seaway, the Lakes region and the rest of the world would not be connected the way they are with the Seaway there.
Aaron Benziger is with Chicago-based Central Marine Logistics.
CBS's Jim Krasula. NHL players are going to be allowed to use pride tape this season. The league and the players' union agreed to give players the option to represent societal causes with stick tape during warm-ups, practices, and at games. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
It's my dad has a cold.
I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Efforts to pay for upkeep at American Family Field and keep the Brewers in Milwaukee for an extra 20 years took another step Wednesday. A state Senate committee took testimony on a bill that spends $546 million in public money. The deal passed the assembly last week. Republican Dewey Strobel chairs the committee. He hopes to have enough votes to pass it in time for the Senate to pass it in November. Another school in the Universities of Wisconsin system is cutting jobs. The UW-Platteville campus announced Tuesday they will eliminate over 100 positions on the campus. The school is facing an over $9 million structural deficit. About 60 people are going to be laid off, while officials plan to cut 31 open positions on the campus. The campus joins UW-Oshkosh in laying off workers amid budget cuts. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media. News.
The Packers getting ready for Minnesota. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers host the Vikings Sunday at noon, but they'll be missing some key players. Safety Darnell Savage placed on IR with a calf injury. Eric Stokes back on injured reserve after pulling a hamstring Sunday in Denver. It was his first game back in nearly a year.
Man, just, I can't believe it. Like, I don't worry 11 and a half months just to get back to where I was at. I can't believe any of this. I just have no words.
NBA, the Bucks host the 76ers tonight. tonight for the season opener. James Harden finally showed up to practice in Philly, but will not be playing in the game in Milwaukee. Meanwhile, Giannis celebrates his 11th season with the Bucks and was asked what it all means.
The Milwaukee Bucks organization, they've been there with me since the beginning. They changed my life. They changed my family life. My kids were born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You know, my mom is here enjoying her life. My dad spent a couple years here before he passed away. And for that, I can't turn my back.
That's the Bucks' Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers and storms moving in overnight. Temperatures dropping down to 54 degrees. On Thursday, showers and storms, a high of 63. Northeast winds will be on the light side. Some of the rain could be a little bit heavy in spots. Rain and rumbles continue Thursday night. Right now, it's 55.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. Oh, it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. 11:06. Greg Bach is on the board, and you are joining us as well. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. If you ever want to call and or text, you can always check in. Very excited about our guest at 11:33, Brian Mathiewicz from Wisconsin, broke the state record for the largest pumpkin and raised a pumpkin named Macy.
I didn't realize you named him.
Yeah, apparently you do. He named his pumpkin Macy after his daughter's yellow lab. Weighed in at 2,420 pounds. It's so awesome.
I love how much. I love. Okay, Jane, I love. You get very. Not angry, but you get passionate about things like politics.
Yes.
And injustice and things like that, as you should, as we all should, but the things that light you up, that trip your trigger, the birding and the pumpkin, I love just Frankie. Look at you, look at you right now. If you're watching the live stream right now, nothing but pure joy over here in the host booth.
Absolutely. I'm an odd person.
You're a wonderful person.
There are just things that give me jollies that I don't know. And I hope everyone will jolly along with us coming up at 11:33 when Brian Mathiewicz joins us to talk about the great pumpkin that he grew. I want to kick off this hour, though. This is an article from CNN that came out last week. Remember all of the outcry when the Biden administration talked about hiring more IRS agents?
You mean 87,000 IRS agents that are going to ruin your life?
And they're all coming for you.
Yeah.
Well, the IRS has been coming for people. So far, they've collected $160 million in back taxes this year by cracking down on millionaires who have not paid what they owe. So my question is this bad? 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. When the Biden administration was first talking about hiring more IRS agents, the outcry by some, this is a terrible idea. They're going to come for the little guy. They're coming for you. No, they're not coming for you.
No.
They're going after people who make a decent living.
They're going after the people who don't like it. That's those, their buddies. Yeah, they're contributors.
Right.
Country club friends.
In September, the IRS began going after back taxes from about 1,600 taxpayers with incomes above $1 million and more than $250,000 in tax debt. And so far, the agency has closed 100 of those cases, collecting $122 million. From CNN again, the IRS also collected $38 million for more than 175 high-income earners, bringing the total so far this year to $160 million. Is this bad?
No.
And if so, why?
Yeah, actually, that's the thing is, if you think it's bad, convince me.
Right.
And I'm being dead serious. I'm not. And don't come at me with all taxes theft. That's bleh.
Well, nobody likes paying taxes.
No, I want to pay less tax. Or I'd like, you know, I mean, yeah, I just, if you are shirking your duty, you're using the loopholes and, but you still owe, then you got to pay. That's just it. You got to pay.
That's how the system is set up, folks.
Yes.
That just is, that's part of our rules.
Womp.
Yeah, but apparently, I know it's shocking. Not everyone likes to play by the rules. Texter 541, do you think the reason Republican lawmakers are so mad is because they had to pay taxes again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Most of those guys and women are millionaires.
Are quite wealthy.
Yeah, and they got quite wealthy while being in their seat.
In some of these cases, and we will link this article to the show notes after the show is over, in one successful case, this person had to pay more than $15 million in restitution for falsifying personal expenses as deductible business expenses. So this is what this taxpayer deducted as business expenses. Building a 51,000-square-foot mansion with a pool and a pool house, tennis, basketball, and bocce courts. The same taxpayer falsified expenses for luxury vehicles, artwork, country club memberships, and homes for his kids. I feel so badly for him.
You know, the Biden administration is just coming after hardworking.
Yeah, the little guy.
Salt of the earth people who just want to have a pool in their pool. And that bocce, I bet you that $50 says that bocce ball court is now a pickleball court.
You're probably right. Yeah. Is this bad? Is this bad that the IRS is targeting people making over $1 million a year for not paying their back taxes? 844-967-2789. If it's bad, tell me, please explain to me why this is bad.
We got a comment on the live stream from Sarah that says, when the IRS doesn't have enough resources, they audit the people who don't have the money to fight it. Going after the wealthy requires more time, money, and lawyers.
You are absolutely right, Sarah. You know, wealthy people are able to hire accountants and have staff to try and tweak these things and hide these things.
Yeah.
And they are able to utilize loopholes that most little guys can't because the little guy doesn't have the money to do that. Another individual pleaded guilty last week to filing false returns and skimming almost $700,000 from his business. This person spent $110,000 on personal expenses and $500,000 in gambling. And now he had to pay up. They estimate, according to CNN, $688 billion were not collected in 2021. Almost $700 billion not collected during the tax year 2021. So this is why the Biden administration brought on more IRS agents to try and go after these people who it seems like they can afford to pay their taxes. We all manage somehow to pay our taxes.
I do, and I pay a lot of money to pay my taxes.
Right?
It's
part of our contract.
Yeah.
It's part of our contract for living in this country. 844-967-2789. Pat from Wausau is on the phone. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. So you say they're only going after millionaires?
Well, at least according to this article, Pat, on CNN, it says they got $160 million in back taxes this year by cracking down on millionaires who haven't paid what they owed. I'm not saying that the IRS doesn't go after smaller people, but this is a chunk of the electorate that's been getting away with not paying their fair share for a long time.
Okay.
Well, do you think it's bad?
Thank you very much.
Do you think
it's not at all? Everybody pay their fair share.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. I mean, I don't like paying taxes. I'm assuming, Pat, You're not crazy about paying taxes, but you pay them, right?
Or move to Florida.
Don't they still have federal income tax in Florida?
No state tax. So.
No state tax.
No state tax, but still, you still have to pay federal income tax. I just don't think it's fair. I don't think it's fair for someone to be able to write off the construction of a $51,000 personal property as one of their business expenses. That seems kind of twitchy to me.
Yeah, I mean, you had to have known that was going to happen one day. You knew you were going to get caught. Like,
but they haven't gotten caught for a really long time.
But now they did.
Yeah. I think this is a good thing.
Oh, yeah. I really think that most people agree with you, Jane. I really do. I think, you know, unless we get some millionaire or billionaire calling up saying, I don't like it, then I'm going to call the IRS and be like, I've got your man.
Yes, out yourself on our show if you're not paying your taxes.
That'd be amazing.
844-967-2789. IRS says it will focus now on cracking down on large corporations that have not been paying the taxes they owe.
Yeah. And to be clear, and I'm not going to speak for Jane, but I think you'll agree with me. If there's someone who makes, I don't know, $30,000, $50,000, $60,000 a year, and they're doing the same thing, they're not paying or they're hiding their money or whatever, then yeah, they should have to pay as well. They should be dealt with the same way. But I mean, most of the money is going to come from these major corporations and millionaires and billionaires. That's just how it's going to be for right now.
Yes. 844-967-2789, the text line. Greg, that's $160 million less that these guys can't pay into local economies like their investment firms.
Boom.
Or alternate accounting specialists. Yes, that's a good point. Also, a question, if the government shuts down next month, that means we get a discount on our federal income taxes because we get a year with no federal expenses, right?
Oh, yes, exactly. That's exactly how it goes. And then a year later, hello, this is the IRS. You're wrong.
I think you forgot something.
Yeah.
I think you forgot something. Well, again, I think this is a good thing. I feel everybody's paying with taxes. Nobody likes paying taxes. Most of us do. And I think that is part of our agreement as Americans that in order to keep a functioning government and, I don't know, things like roads and making sure we can drink water that's not poisoned and stuff like that. I think that's worth it.
I think it's worth it, too. There is a great quote from Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes who said, taxes are the price we pay for living in a civilized society.
It's true.
Period.
Yeah.
Done.
It's true. Well, go IRS. Just don't go after me. No, I'm kidding. When we come back, we're coming up against a break. When we come back, they're talking about bringing back driver's ed all across Wisconsin. So I want to know if you think this is a good thing or a bad thing. 844-967-2789. And it is also a special day in Wisconsin as designated by our own Oplander, Governor Tony Evers. We'll have all the details of that coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't ask me what I want it for. If you don't want to pay some more, because I'm the tax man.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. And we always love to hear from you at 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Coming up at 1133, going to talk to the Wisconsin man who broke the state record for growing the state's largest pumpkin. It's over 2,400 pounds. Stay tuned for that. It should be a lot of fun. Right now, though, I think this is a great thing. From WPR, state-funded driver's education could be coming back to Wisconsin for the first time in 20 years. Shocking but true, Greg Bach, the state assembly has approved a bipartisan bill.
Wait a minute. Say that.
I know.
I'm shocked here. I have something for that. Say it again. A what?
The state assembly has approved a bipartisan bill. Yes. Stand up and applaud. Providing up to $400 in grants for low-income families to help pay for driver's ed. Governor Ears, who included state-funded driver's education in his previous budget, is signaling he will support the measure. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We had driver's ed in high school, and that was a rite of passage. To take driver's ed, and then you went into the simulator that was usually in this truck or like a truck trailer on the side of the school, and then you would drive like a bad video game and then try and not hit pedestrians and things. It was a rite of passage, though. You went to the simulator. That's what we called it.
We didn't have a simulator per se. We had a room, I think it was at South High School here in Waukesha, with just desks that had steering wheels and shifters on them. And you didn't control anything. You just drove along with the video that was playing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these were a little bit, mine was a little bit more individualistic. We didn't have the one big screen that everyone followed. We were all kind of in our own little video games. When, again, back in the day, Greg Bach, when we just switched over from horses.
Okay, Grandma.
Private driver's education programs can cost between $350 and $650 bucks. And according to a quote in this article, teenagers 15 to 20 without driver's education are responsible for 91% of teen driver crashes. That's bad.
That's, wow.
Yeah, that's really, really bad.
I remember that because I'm not sure if it's still this way here in Wisconsin, but like, I remember my first, when you get your driver's license, when you are under 18, those first years are probationary. And my parents made it very clear. You are a young driver. You are on probation and your insurance is already very high because of those things.
Right.
So you have to be extra careful. So there's no pressure there on a young human driving a 4,000 pound machine trying not to do anything wrong.
Yeah.
That's just, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Text John from the Falls. Are you saying Republicans are actually going to vote to provide funding for an educational item on an equal basis for everyone?
Well, yeah, because driver's ed will allow them to buy a car and they won't say, hey, give me mass transit. Boom. See what I did there?
Oh, I got that. This is critical for, I mean, this isn't just about kids in the big cities like Madison and Milwaukee. This is, I think, critical for kids all across the state. as you said, Greg, you still, in most instances, you have to have a car if you're going to get a job, because we just don't have really good mass transit here.
We don't. We do not. That's a whole, I mean, that's a whole other conversation. And more kids nowadays are just kind of putting off getting driver's licenses because they have friends who have licenses. There's Uber, there's Lyft.
Right.
I mean, it's not as necessary as it used to be. And, you know, just the idea of like not having to pay insurance and a car payment, you just like, I just pay Lyft and Uber instead.
Provided you live in a community that offers that.
Correct.
You know, I guess there's a lot of, you know, smaller rural areas. Maybe they have one Lyft driver. It's Frank. Yeah.
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. We love Frank. Again, I think this is a good thing. And I also think it's an important reminder, because I am an old grandma. Governor Evers has proclaimed today as Buckle Up, Phone Down Day in Wisconsin, people. We can bring a positive change in driver behavior and create safer roads. Take the pledge and commit to wearing a seat belt and put your phone down while you're driving. Are there really people who don't buckle up?
Yes. Yes. I know someone.
You do?
Yep.
A friend?
I'd say more like a person I know.
And have you ever asked why?
Yes, I have asked why. And he told me that his not exact words, it's a paraphrase. I won't let the government take that much control over my body.
Oh, good God. Be a woman for a day.
Sorry. I don't mean to laugh at that, but that was funny.
Well, come on. The government can't make me make myself safer. I don't want to do that. Buckle up, people.
Grandma Jane has told you.
Just do it. Just buckle up and please put your phone down, because we can always tell who's looking at their phone because you're floating over the lanes because you're not concentrating. And I know that you are a special human being with special superpowers, but I worry for you.
Oh, you're being sarcastic.
Which is why I want you to buckle up and put down your phone.
All right. Okay? All right.
Thank you. Just do it today. Just do it for the day. See how it goes.
I don't understand, honestly, like when I don't have my safety belt on, I feel very weird.
Absolutely.
It feels very odd to not have that on.
It's so automatic now.
Yeah.
I lock the door and I put my belt on. That's the order that I do things. So anyway, please be safe and be careful how you drive. When we come back, the grower of the state record breaking pumpkin is going to be here in just a couple of minutes. I hope you can stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and you're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. A senior federal law enforcement official tells CBS News at least 20 people, possibly more, were killed in a mass shooting in Lewiston, Maine last night. State Public Safety Commissioner Mike Sosha.
The shelter-in-place order that currently stands in Lewiston remains. A vehicle, which was a vehicle of interest in this incident, was located in Lisbon, and we are now also asking residents in Lisbon to shelter in place.
Hundreds of police officers are searching for the shooter at this hour. The Israeli military says its troops conducted a targeted raid overnight in the northern Gaza Strip. CBS's Holly Williams says Gazans fled the attacks.
Hundreds of thousands of them have fled their homes in northern Gaza after Israel's military told them to move south for their own safety. More than a million people are now homeless in Gaza. People are running short of food and water. They're running desperately short of fuel.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are
for
so
Civic
much
Media
more than
News. I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State wildlife officials unanimously approved a new wolf management plan for Wisconsin on Wednesday. The new plan does not include specific population goals for the entire state. Instead, the plan recommends a population of around 1,000 animals, but allows for more flexibility in certain areas of the state. While conservation groups applauded the new plan, farmers and hunters worry that the plan will allow too many wolves to prey on livestock and deer in northern Wisconsin. There's a new member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Governor Evers is tapping longtime Eau Claire City employee Carrie Ripel. She served in the city clerk and human resources offices since 2011. Ripel says she'll be able to provide an expert's opinion in the role. She'll keep her job in Eau Claire while making regular trips to Madison. Her appointment is subject to state Senate approval. I'm Nate Wuggehout. This is Civic Media News.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers and storms moving in overnight. Temperatures dropping down to 54 degrees. On Thursday, showers and storms, a high of 63. Northeast winds will be on the light side. Some of the rain could be a little bit heavy in spots. Rain and rumbles continue Thursday night. Right now, it's 55.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real
local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere filling in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. Just a reminder that Kristen is joining us every Wednesday now at 10:30 from 10:30 to 11 to give us some updates from home. Her daughter, little Frankie, turns a month old tomorrow. But every Wednesday, Kristen will be joining us for some updates. And on days when she's being, many people are saying, the perfect child, she will be on the StreamYard with us, so you can check her out as well. I am so excited about our next guest. He has made a history. The Wisconsin state pumpkin record used to be 2,283 pounds until Brian Matthewitz of Cleghorn came in with his pumpkin called Macy, which weighs 2,420 pounds. Welcome to the show, Brian Matthewitz. I'm so happy to have you with us.
Glad to join you today.
Well, were you surprised, first of all, when you broke the record?
Oh, my gosh, yes. So as a competition, there was 49 pumpkins at Stillwater Harvest Fest, and what they do is they do what's called over-the-top measurements where they determine and estimate the weight of the pumpkin. And I was put in fifth place out of the 49. So I felt pretty good about that. And it was taping 2,070 pounds, which was really cool because at the show this year, if you had the ability of growing a 2,000-pound pumpkin, you were awarded $1,000.
Oh, nice.
So I'm thinking this is cool. So yeah, so we're, you know, watching a couple pumpkins, and we talk about pumpkins going light or going heavy. That means they're based on the estimate weight, they may not get to that weight, or they are actually way more dense than what the actual estimated weight is. And as we as they put my pumpkin on the scale, and they did a countdown, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He pulled the towel, and for a split second, I thought it said 2,040 pounds. And then a double take, it was 2,420. And yeah, I kind of lost it. It was, everyone was going crazy and cheering. And yeah, it was a very memorable moment.
That's really cool, Brian. And first of all, who knew there were that many people interested in large pumpkin competitions? I had no idea.
Well, right. I mean, there's people that are interested in snowmobiles or interested in, you know, all kinds of different things, sports and what have you. There is a giant pumpkin commonwealth across the entire world of where large fruit, if you will, are grown and recorded. We do this for competition. So the giant pumpkin commonwealth, I'm not sure how long it's been going. A number of years, probably, I think there was a World Pumpkin Commonwealth back in the 80s, I think. And anyway, it just kept on going all over, you know, areas where they grow pumpkins, Belgium, France, Italy. It's just all kinds of places. And yeah, it's way bigger than I ever thought. I didn't really know much about it, but I got wind of it. And yeah, so glad to be a part of it.
Brian Matthewitz is our guest. His pumpkin, Macy, recently broke the state record for being a big girl, 2,420 pounds. Brian, what was the first year you got involved in this?
So about 5 years ago, the local community, Altoona, was going to have a ginormous pumpkin contest. And there was a seminar at a local business, right, that I do a lot of business called Down to Earth Garden Center, just south of Eau Claire. Claiborne's just a few miles south of Eau Claire.
Right.
Anyway, I noticed that they're going to have this seminar. So I went and learned a few things. And, you know, I've gardened all my life, and I grew big pumpkins, and I put them on the end of my driveway. You know, I'd grow 6, 8, 10 of them per plant and sell them at the end of the driveway for 10, 20, 30, 40 bucks. And but I didn't know anything about this giant pumpkin thing. I learned some things that first year. You know, I had two or three on the plant, you know, didn't do a whole lot, and brought it there. And by gosh, I got 640 pounds.
For your first time?
I'm like, for my first time, I was 640 pounds.
Wow.
And that was 5 years ago.
Wow. Oh, my God. Now you're up to 2,400?
Well, yeah, well, that while I was there, it was kind of a rainy, gloomy day, and you know, I got to meet some of the pumpkin growers in the Midwest, and I just was just amazed as to how everybody wanted to help each other, you know, get their pumpkin to the scale. So that fall, that winter, I asked a lot of questions. There's a couple of fellas that probably got sick of me asking and texting them questions, but I wanted to figure this game out. Well, then the next year, they had the Wisconsin Pumpkin Growers Association had a pumpkin tour. And I said, sure, come on over. And I got to meet some of the, I mean, I heard these names, you know, they were like almost celebrities in the pumpkin world. And and they were at my place. Well, long and short of it, that year I grew a 1,644 pound pumpkin, almost 1,000 pounds more, and I think I got like fifth place. And then I was hooked.
we have a question from Andrew from Verona on the text line. And if you want to ask Brian a question, 844-967-2789. Andrew asks, Brian, I've heard growing pumpkins takes a ton of water. How often, how much did you have to water, especially since it was a dry year? Does that water bill deter you from trying this again next year?
Well, I live out in the country, so I do have my own well water, and the electricity probably went up 60 to 80 bucks a month. I have solar, so that really offsets it. But I'll be honest with you, I watered in the last 40 days through August and September, 6 to 8 hours a day, and my pump in two locations, those pumping 10, 12 gallons a minute, so you can do the math.
Those things must have been smoking, Brian. Those pumps must have had smoke coming off them.
Believe it or not, a week and a half after the pumpkin season was over, my well died. they pulled the well, and it was like only 2.5 years old, and it was shot.
Oh, so no. Know what that means, but oh, no. So what are, besides watering, which obviously is critically important, what are some of the other challenges to growing a ginormous pumpkin?
You know, it starts way in the beginning. You know, we have to decide to what seeds to plant, and then we got to get them germinated. And there's a trick to doing that. And we start that typically in the house, mid-April. And, you know, there's times you want them to germinate, and they don't. And
sure.
So I had a failure the first time, had to go again. Well, then when that's done, then about early May, you have to set them outside. Well, you know, it's cold up here. So we make little tents and little heaters and run electric cords. You bury a heating cord under the ground below where you're going to plant it. You're dealing with it in there. You have to water it. And then if the sun comes out, even if it's 50 degrees out, them tents heat up pretty fast.
Sure.
You got to make sure they're open. Otherwise, you burn up the plant. And you're dealing with then, as that comes off, you're dealing with insects, fungus, critters. It's just an ongoing, it's doing chores morning, afternoon, and night.
You are essentially babysitting large pumpkins.
Yes. I ended up, for some reason, decided to try the master gardener, where you have to grow five fruits. So I had 17 vine fruits going on at once. I don't recommend that to anybody.
Well, Brian, I have a really quick question for you. When do you sleep?
That's easy. You know, from 9 to 5. But I do my job from 6 till 4 or 5, and then I'm basically outside till dark. You know, my wife comes home late, and we don't have any children here, so I have a love of gardening and the joy of being outdoors, outside, and that's what I do all summer.
It's wonderful.
Brian Matthewitz is our guest. He is the pumpkin king. His pumpkin, Macy, recently smashed the Wisconsin state record for pumpkins at 2,420 pounds. The critters, Brian, will just anything try and eat your pumpkins? Because I have to think, if you're a mouse, looking at a 20-pound pumpkin has got to be pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah. You know, we have to watch everything. And, yes, there are mouse traps. There are traps for striped gophers. I had a family of striped gophers living under one of the pumpkins.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, 7 of them had to find another place.
They were relocated. They went to a farm further up north.
Yeah, we'll call it that.
Living their best lives.
Groundhogs can be a major problem. There's some people that really are challenged with them. But mice, the one year I caught 17 mice off of just round one pumpkin.
Wow.
We use stickies and peanut butter on traps. And, yeah, we just have to just let them know that this is not where they want to be. This year was challenging because the ground is hard and dry, except my pumpkin ground, and it was soft and moist. So it seemed like it attracted more than normal.
And what? So now Macy's been weighed, and she's on display. Once that's done, then what happens with this 2,400-pound pumpkin?
Well, when people have giant pumpkins, they have a few options, and one of them is putting it on display. I have had three of my fruits, and currently I have a 1,581-pound giant squash that's also the Wisconsin record that is sitting over at the Minnesota Zoo.
Oh, cool.
With lights on it. Yeah, and last year and the year prior, they purchased my pumpkins. And what they do then is they put them on display for the month, and then they open them. We ask to get our seeds back because that's our genetics to line up for the following year or whatever.
Sure, sure.
And they literally feed them to the elephants.
Wow.
So, and then like I had my first one that we wanted to pick up was over 1,700 pounds, and we picked it up and it cracked. And you're like, yeah, that's a punch in the gut.
Because that disqualifies you, I assume.
Well, no, it didn't even make the patch. We just picked it up, and there was cracked underneath. And basically, so then what we set them down, the other option is then you chop it up and put it right back in the ground because it's full of fertilizer, nutrients, and whatnot. Macy will be displayed through end of October, early November at Down to Earth Garden Center off of Highway 93 south of Eau Claire. And when she is done, it had an unusual area of growth. So we've got a couple of friends. We're going to come over, and we're literally going to cut it up and just learn from what we've seen and get all the seeds out of it.
That was another question from a texter, Brian. Do you sell seeds from Macy?
Well, the answer of Macy will be yes. What we kind of do is we may hold a few seeds for our best friends or whatever they're in the grow that want to grow the pumpkin. Mm-hmm. You know, records are to be broken. So I look forward to giving it to some of the best growers in Wisconsin or whomever. Then what we do is we take them seeds and we send them to clubs. So there's, I don't know how many clubs there are, 30 plus clubs across the United States, from New York to Washington to California to Minnesota, everywhere. And they'll request some seeds, and what we do is we auction them off, and that's typically in February and March. And that allows dollars to be available for competition money. You know, some of these prizes, you know, are $6,000 plus for first place.
Wow.
And they'll drop $27,000 to $35,000 at a show.
Brian Matthewitz, hang on 1 second, Brian. We are coming up against a break. Don't go away. Brian Matthewitz, the Pumpkin King. Can you stick around for a couple more minutes, Brian?
Absolutely.
Great. We will be right back. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community
This
informed.
Is 93.5 The Tap.
No one else was in the room where it happened, the room where it happened, the room where it happened. No one else was in the room where it happened, the room where it happened, the room where it happened. No one really knows how the game is played, the art of the trade, how the sausage gets made. We just assume that it happens. No
one else is in the room where it happened. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach is on the board. Brian Matthewitz, who just smashed the Wisconsin pumpkin record with his pumpkin Macy at 2,420 pounds, is on the phone with us. Real quickly, though, before we finish up our conversation with Brian, Greg, we have talked to Keep Our Republic in the past. We have had them as guests on our show, and they're holding town-style forums across the state trying to restore faith in elections. So they actually bring in actual elected officials to explain how things work, and they are having a meeting tonight. It's a hyper-localized community engagement seminar trying to educate people around La Crosse on how elections in Wisconsin work. So that's going to be tonight at 6:30 at the La Crosse County Administrative Center in La Crosse. And they provided us with a live stream link. So if you can't go tonight, you can still watch it on the live stream and take advantage of this, because it's really important.
I'll put those in the show notes today. Yep,
we will get them in the show notes. So give us a little time, maybe half hour up to an hour after the show is over, and we will get that up on there. Back to Brian Matthewitz, who grew this enormous pumpkin. I just love Brian. It just sounds like such a fun community to be a part of, because you all sound very, very supportive of each other.
Oh, absolutely. I encourage anybody that has any interest to look up Wisconsin Pumpkin Growers Association on the web, become a member, be a part of us. We're a lot of fun. We all want to help each other do the best we can and get that pumpkin on the scale.
And were you ever tempted, Brian, with one of these big ones to carve it out? And I mean, you could make like a little pumpkin house for kids. They would lose their minds.
Jane would lose her mind.
Yeah, I am not a carver, but there's some of the best guys around. Shannon Engel by Menominee. He's an amazing carver. He does a lot of carving for sport events. He's got one up at Mall America. He does a phenomenal job. At Stillwater, what they'll do is they'll actually take them out, gut them out, and they'll take them down the St. Croix River with canoes. And they'll have a pumpkin contest, or a canoe contest using pumpkins.
When does that happen?
October 14th and 15th of this year, every year, second week of October.
I'm going to have to write
it's
that. Really,
it's fun.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, look it up. It's cool.
That is hilarious. So they hollow out the pumpkins and then they canoe the pumpkins down the river.
Yep. They jump in with a paddle and they have a race.
Brian, you are blowing Jane's mind right now.
I've lived here most of my life, Brian, and I never knew about this. And I'm 63 years old, and I feel like I've been cheated out of this experience for all of these years when it was right in our own backyard.
Right.
Any other tips for people who are listening? If they're thinking about it, they're slightly tempted, they want to learn more.
Well, if you hear of a show in the neighborhood, and there's 4 or 5 in Wisconsin, a couple in Minnesota, whatever, go seek them out. You'll be blown away. I mean, when you see kids just, gosh, go, oh my gosh, and they look at that. Kids are also 30 years old, 50 years old, 63-year-old, because it brings the kids out of you when you see them things. They're amazing. I think they put smiles on people's faces. If we can spread a little joy doing it that way, I'm all for it.
Well, and I would think that's how you get people hooked into trying to grow giant pumpkins, right? You wake up that child part and decide, I think I want to try doing that. That looks like fun.
Even if you have a small seed, an Atlantic giant seed, you plant it in the garden normally, you could get a 400 to 500 to 700 pound pumpkin. The genetics have gone so good, you know, and just do common sense gardening. It's easy to have a pumpkins over 300, 400, 500 pounds.
And then when you're handling them, do you have to have a backhoe or something?
Yes. So when they're that big, it usually takes a couple guys, a skid steer or a telehandler, skid steer. Some have some homemade jacks, but we have what's called a lift ring, and we send straps around the outside. We have a bottom rope around where we cinch it, and so when the skid steer picks up the pumpkin, the straps cinch against the pumpkin, lifts it up, and then we put a pallet under it, and then take it, put it on our trailer.
That's got to be pretty. That's got to be pretty tense when you're moving those things.
It's very tense. It is. Yeah, yeah. It's very nerve wracking.
I'm sure.
Look underneath to see everything's good. Get it on the pallet. Unfortunately, I bought a new trailer, which is what I call pumpkin money, a couple years ago. It was 6.5 feet wide. Well, Macy wouldn't fit on it. I had to go get a U-Haul truck.
You had to rent a truck to move your pumpkin.
Yep.
That's dedication, yep. Brian.
Well, that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, definitely. That is a good problem to have. Well, congratulations. What a happy, fun, wonderful story. And we will have a link to the article. There was a WPR did an article, or MSNBC had an article on you, so you can see pictures of Brian and Macy and all the related things in our show notes. Give us a chance to get those up after the show ends. Brian Matthewitz, continued growing success, my friend. And
oh, I see what you did there.
Next year, I'm going to meet you at the pumpkin race when they're going down the river.
I probably won't do that. I don't know how to swim.
Just hang on really tight. That thing will carry you all the way. Thank you so much, Brian.
There you go.
Take care.
Yeah, all the best to you guys, too.
Take you care. As well. Thanks, Brian. So much. Oh, I love stuff like that. Greg Bach.
Like I said, I love watching you like this.
But again, what a great way to meet people. What a great way to develop some community. It's a happy, fun, clean living kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I do love the community aspect of, like, we give the seeds away. People's records are made to be broken. We need to.
And we share tips and
exactly.
we share suggestions and stuff like that. So it reminded me, we've talked too about some of the smaller brewers in town who will also do that. So,
yeah. The brewing community, if you're worth your salt, we're all in it together. It's a great community.
And so are the pumpkin people.
Yeah.
Go pumpkin people. Thank you so much to everyone who joined us today. Thank you to Kristen Bry. Thank you, Brian Matthewitz and Macy. Greg Bach, of course. Love you, my dear. We will see you tomorrow morning starting at 10 o'clock. Stay tuned for the Todd Allbaugh Show coming up next right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training.
You are listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.